We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas. And with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goyne.
Hello.
We have our Heat Beat insider, Mr. Lefty Leif.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And we have our professional screw-up who was late today, Alex Toledo, live from the Vegas Summer League.
What's up, guys?
Woohoo!
Alex is our Las Vegas NBA Summer League correspondent. So is Nikias. But Nikias doesn't like us anymore, so he doesn't answer our phone calls.
Alex, you just muted your mic.
Alex has had his mic muted. Are you toggling mute and unmute? You're playing with the new Zoom interface that we're using to record?
Yep.
We are now cleaner and better than ever for you, the people, the audience. And I will take this moment to introduce the Five Reasons Podcast Network. It is a network that we are a part of. It is the umbrella mothership to everything Miami sports, by Miami, for Miami. Check out all of our podcasts on Five Reasons Sports, from the newest, The Fish Tank, following O.J. McDuffie, former Dolphin, telling stories from his past and present. You have The Balls Cast, which is kind of a Miami pop culture show. You have Pitch Invasion, now that the World Cup's going on, hosted by Chris Whittingham. There's tons of stuff. And, of course, the flagship Five Reasons Sports podcast with Ethan Skolnick and Chris Whittingham. So, gentlemen, the off season is among us. We're moving and grooving, and by moving and grooving, I mean nothing has happened except a bunch of rumors. But today, Adrian Wojnarowski gave us a morsel. He chummed the ocean. He chummed the Twitter ocean with a kind of like little Woj bomb. It's not like a big Woj bomb. It's like a little Woj bomb. And apparently, Carmelo Anthony may be on the move. Miami and Houston are among the discussees in wanting Melo. Pat Riley was seen with
Sam Presti.
Thunder president. Yeah. Sam Presti. So that was going on during the Vegas Summer League. Alex was here to report that live, right, Alex?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that, insiders, move over, Lefty Leif. So guys, so I guess Leif, I want to start with you. So we have like this Melo transaction, right? And it's like, I think everyone's a little unclear as to what's going on. So Woj is reporting that Melo requested the Thunder if he could meet with both the Heat and the Rockets, because he has a no-trade clause. So is he getting traded to the Heat, or are they trying to dump him somewhere like Atlanta, then they buy him out, and then he come here, Houston? Like, what's going on, Leif?
It sounds like it's the latter. It sounds like from Woj's report, they would trade him to a team that has some space, if not, I don't think a team has all the space to absorb his salary, but they can definitely absorb a lot of it. And at that point, it would be done with Melo waiving his no trade clause, knowing that he would be getting waived. And then he was meeting with Houston and Miami so that basically each of those franchises, I guess, could pitch him. And those pitches would be what would, incentivize him to waive his no trade clause and go through with that. So I think that that's kind of where we're at. And we'll see him get traded to some team that has some sort of space, whether it's Brooklyn or Sacramento, Atlanta. I think does Chicago have any more space? Probably not. One of those teams, and then he'll get waived, and then it's basically on to Houston or Miami. Which, initially, like everybody, Mark Stein, Jared Dudley, every national writer you could find was saying it was Houston, Houston, Houston. But the more you look at it in terms of the role and what we have to offer, I mean, maybe he would consider coming. And I don't know, can we resuscitate this whale? Because it's like washed up on the beach, word to Crab Smut Peddler.
I read that, I think, was it Eric Spoelstra is guaranteeing a starting power forward spot if Melo does come, and that if Houston was able to get Carmelo, he'd be coming off the bench, leading your second unit.
Where's that from?
The Joe Johnson move.
I had to find the source of that, but it was a verified account, so that helps.
Okay, so I have a couple questions about this. What is the point of getting Melo just off of him getting waived? I thought the point of getting him was for the cap space that you get in a year for him as an expiring deal.
Well, I think that the Heat initially probably approached Oklahoma City and said, that gigantic salary, if you want to move it, we're happy to take it from you. We'll send you back a couple guys that fit roles that will, kind of fit around Russ and PG. And obviously that doesn't lower the tax bill, so it doesn't accomplish the goal that OKC is looking out for. So, what it does for the Heat is that it gives us a primary scoring option, and somehow, because they'll send him to a team that can absorb his salary, it lowers their tax bill.
I think the main thing for I think we have to look at this from the perspective of the Heat organization. Like us as fans, like I think right now we're very set on nothing's going to happen. Let's move on for the whale or whatever, the next big summer that they're going to have. I think Miami might be approaching this, the organization, as we want to be competitive during this time. And our biggest need last season was a wing scorer. And it was so clear. I think Dwayne kind of helped that toward the end, but it still was they did not have a go-to scorer at all, especially from the perimeter. So I think they look at the Melo maybe on a 1 year while he's still collecting that buyout money. To get him here on a cheap salary, play with Dwayne Wade, his buddy.
Can't forget the jersey sales.
The jersey sales. He culture his ass up, right? So he can approach next summer where teams will have maybe some more money that he can get one last contract. So that's – I kind of look at it like that for them. Alex, what were you going to say?
Okay, so if the Heat get Melo and you're promising him this prominent role as a starting four or whatever it is, and I understand the need for a wing scorer, that's fine. The problem is the roster construction. It's already difficult enough as it is to get rid of these big deals. And if you're not doing it in a trade for Melo, not only are you still keeping these contracts on there, but now it's getting in the way of other guys playing time, specifically on the big man rotation that was already jammed up last year. And we're here talking about getting minutes for Derrick Jones Jr., but that's not going to happen before this whole Melo thing. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it makes a lot of sense if you're not doing it as a trade.
I mean, that's definitely a good point. I think that part of it is that the minutes and the role that Carmelo would be playing kind of eats into what James Johnson would be doing, if I'm looking at it that way. Not necessarily, JJ is more of a defender and things like that. He does different things on the floor, but I think he would be playing a lot. And really, you're right in that the minutes that would be sacrificed is Bam minutes. It could be Olynyk minutes, depending on – I mean, maybe it's Hassan that gets buried.
I think it's Justice minutes.
But don't Justice, you dare. I mean – it could be. I mean, because you basically have to keep him at the three for the most part or shift him to the one. But when you look at the backcourt and you have Tyler Johnson and Deion Waiters and Wade and Ellington and McGruder, according to Ira, Derrick Jones Jr. is a guard somehow. you do have a gigantic logjam. So, I mean, that is one of the big question marks around this. And one of the more interesting points from my perspective is, yeah, Melo coming, cool, that's fun. It'll probably be an interesting season. Maybe he'll, you know, load up and score, and we can, you know, make some kind of run in the Eastern Conference that is interesting. But more, I think it points to that they can't compound the glut on the roster.
I just, Leif, like, and Alex has kind of talked me out of it. Like, I think earlier in the day, I thought it was a really good move for them because of their need to score, but Alex is right. Like, they need a score at, like, a small forward position, and I don't want, like, I guess I'm okay with JJ minutes going away, but then you kind of have to look at how you're getting affected defensively, because we know that Kelly is not a world stopper on that end. So, like, you kind of have to be careful. I think that they most need a score at, like, small forward, right? And you're kind of hoping that Jay Ridge takes a step, that Justice takes a step as scorers, as guys who can create, all that stuff, but I don't know, man. Now I'm a little more hesitant than before. Alex has kind of talked me back a bit.
Yeah, plus it doesn't even factor in like the return of Dwayne Wade and Wayne Ellington coming back in free agency.
And Deion.
And yeah, Deion.
And Deion. Yeah, which they kind of got to get Deion back on the floor so that they can prove he has any level of value at all. So you can expect him to have a role. They may have to feature Tyler at backup point guard because there's just no two guard minutes to give him. And then we're talking about Wayne Ellington coming back on whatever number he comes back as the third string shooting guard, Leif, is basically.
Leif, think about what you just said. If Deion comes back and if he's good, if he's decent, we assume he's going to be playing the bulk of those two guard minutes. If Dwayne Wade comes back, we know how Spoelstra and him are, how much he's going to play. We know that Goran's going to eat up the point guard minutes. Your two highest paid players in Tyler Johnson and Hassan Whiteside are probably not going to be on the floor for the majority of the game.
Especially in the fourth quarter.
Not to mention that we're talking about taking away minutes from JJ, who's going to be making, what, 13, 14 mil next season?
Like,
talking about Deion off the bench making 12 mil. We don't know how much he's going to get a playmaking role, if he's going to start. We have no idea where any of this is going
to
end
up. Not to mention Winslow has an extension coming up before the season starts.
They got to get on that.
I mean, we could go down this rabbit hole and it totally...
I don't want to. But no,
But it signals that they need to make more moves. And to me, that's as a fan, that's positive to me because it kind of shows that there's more that's coming just because it's out of necessity to some degree. I mean, I guess that they have enough roster spots to bring the same exact team back. But you'd have guys that really you relied upon last year or you were planning on relying upon that are like literally third string options when you look at the depth chart. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely questions.
Don't sleep on Duncan Robinson, though.
That guy can shoot, man. That guy, and like I tweeted about this earlier. So Duncan Robinson, Miami's latest little prospect. He was undrafted, correct?
Yep, undrafted out of Michigan. He transferred to Michigan as a Division III prospect.
So D3 prospect, and Miami added him to the Summer League team, and they signed him to a two-way deal, correct?
Yeah,
they almost traded it to the second round for him, didn't they?
Yep. Well, according to Leif.
Yeah, I mean, that's the guy that they had their eye on. They just were hoping that he would go undrafted, and then he did. And then, like, literally, I think that same night, if not the next morning, the news dropped that he was already coming to camp. So, like, that was done the minute the draft ended. But that's the guy they were targeting with some of those late picks that they were looking at. They liked him. They worked him out. You know, they see him as one of those stretch players, and he was doing some – he was playing Ray Allen on that, you know, that one – play where you kind of flare out and shoot the three.
Alex,
Tyus would be more eloquently describe it, but
Alex was there. Alex has been at the Summer League. He's been covering the Heat in Vegas Summer League. Alex, tell us what you've seen from him.
So I was kind of skeptical about it because, you know, the white guy who can shoot, like, yeah, that's fine. He can shoot, but can he stay on the floor on defense? Does he make the right decisions? Blah, blah, blah. And what I've noticed about him that like stands out from like the other young shooters that the Heat got into the Summer League teams, like, what's his name, Andre Dawkins, and the dude from last year from UCF, Matt Williams.
Matt Williams.
My boy.
Duncan Robinson is a better decision maker. Like, he knows when to shoot, when to pass. He's really good at screening. He doesn't get destroyed on defense, and he's got size. And he's kind of athletic, sneaky athletic.
That's what they got to get him in the weight room. I mean, he has the frame to put on the kind of, you know, like physique where he can actually be physical enough to be a capable defender, capable rebounder. And yeah, he's got skills. I mean, I think it's a good addition. And I think they're going to leave the other two-way spot open, and they're going to leave that flexibility open to try to see what may pop later.
Yeah, they might get Derek Jones.
That's another guy at power forward that is going to be like demanding minutes. Like if he's like, if let's say they don't keep Wayne Ellington and this guy can shoot at an NBA level, like that, it's just, they're so jammed. And it's a kind of a good problem to have. Like they have a bunch of like rotation players. Like not every team can say that. Like it was very clear that Cleveland did not have enough rotation players. Right. And like, you know, that happens a lot, even to good teams. So like, I mean, it's not like a horrible position. It's just, it's not a very evenly distributed roster.
I mean, I think for them, the thing that makes the most sense is sending Derrick Jones Jr., Duncan Robinson and Derek Walton, all of them getting playing time in the G League because they're not going to have time. The roster doesn't make sense for them to get any type of playing time.
Yeah, but Derrick Jones Jr. signed a guaranteed contract, so he'll be one of the 50. I don't think he can't be converted to a two-way deal anymore, if no. I'm understanding that correctly. So he'll be on the 15-man roster.
How about his G League eligibility?
Yeah, he can still go to G League, just like Josh Richardson was in a G League for the first half of the season.
That's right.
So
And we don't talk about how much that helped Jay Rich, because when he was, I think when he first played, like it was clear that he had ability, but he was just way too raw. And when he came back from the G League, he was a rotation player, a very helpful, good player on a playoff team that was a game away from the conference finals. Like. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe fans will hear like, oh, sending him to the G League for the first half of the season. Oh my God, what garbage. No.
Isn't that where he sharpened his three too? Because like, I remember before that when they first got him on the summer league team, he would only take mid-range jumpers.
Yep. And it's just a really good tool for them to have. And they've been good at it. I mean, Hassan was not their G. It wasn't at their affiliate, but they got him from the G League. Tyler
he played two games with the Sioux Falls Skyforce before they he's too good. We got to pick him up.
Hassan?
Yeah.
Get over here.
What was the other team that was thinking about placing a waiver on him?
Hassan?
Yeah, there was another team.
Was it Memphis?
I don't think it was Memphis.
He was on Memphis. Remember.
Yeah, Memphis was the team that picked him up and then cut him a couple days later, and then we like scooped him up immediately afterwards because we just had to have him.
You're forgetting how much fun it was.
No, that's true. Initially, we felt like we found the next great.
You don't remember us yelling at Spoelstra, you gotta play Hassan. Yeah.
And Dan was poo-pooing it on the show. And
Per 36.
How could he do that? He's so good. He's filling the stat sheet.
Those per 36. That was like basketball reference. Hassan Whiteside per 36 minutes was like everyone's bookmark.
He was Will Chamberlain per 36.
Oh, man, how times have changed. Yeah. But so what do you guys think about Spo being the advocate for Melo? Because it's funny because generally speaking, I feel like the analytic Twitter folks or the analytic fan that would side with Spo on most things would be like anti-Melo. It doesn't make sense. It's not a good basketball move. But yet Woj is reporting that Spo is the main advocate for this. Like, what do you guys think about, like, what is his vision for Melo there? Or is this literally just desperation?
I have a theory. Do you think that it's him trying to do right by Dwayne to get his friend there?
That is very interesting.
It's an interesting theory.
As you said,
does he have a delusion about Melo?
Low risk contract. And I also think that I think that Spoelstra feels like he can rehab anyone. I mean, like I would not be surprised if he had an ego. I mean, look what they turned Wayne Ellington into.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, does he expect that he's going to get in shape Melo who's willing to work in the system?
Let's look at Dion Waiters. I mean, they had Dion Waiters being king of the NBA, hitting game winners against the Warriors and the Celtics, like the powerhouses of the league. I wouldn't be surprised if Spoelstra has a little ego to him and also doing right by Dwayne, like kind of as a...
And the organization with the jersey sales.
And yo, Alex is so woke on the jersey sale.
I mean, it's obvious.
I mean, they will sell a lot of damn jerseys. There'll be a lot of Wade and Carmelo Anthony jerseys.
The first game winner Melo hits, they're going to throw that on a moment shirt.
Oh, for sure.
That's going to be so sad.
I'll be wearing it next month.
So lame.
The next month. That's funny.
But I think it's interesting, though, because weren't the Heat really interested in getting Carmelo right after LeBron left in 2014? Yeah,
absolutely. Like, they would have jumped
right
on
that. But we still believed in him then.
There was no way we were going to beat the Knicks offer. Yo, he got 62 mil up front, didn't he?
Yeah. I think so. No, he got paid, so that wasn't going to happen. But, you know, like, the other thing with Spo is you just think about I totally lost my train of thought. You're going to have to edit this
shit out. Hold on. But I want to leave that so the audience can know that we're about the commitment to normal podcasting. No, but you know what's funny? That we have not, we haven't been on since the news about Boogie Cousins broke. That was a guy that allegedly had no offers, including from the Heat. Why are we going?
You don't think we gave him the mid level?
There were some stories that came out after the original story about him having no offers. About you know, LA had the opportunity to get him for the same price and same years that the Warriors got him at, and that the Pelicans had originally offered him 2 years, 40, but that they were kind of going back and forth on it.
That was before the season. That 2 year, 40.
Yeah.
So he had money. Yeah. He had chances to make money. He just wants to get the ring real quick.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Makes sense for him. No, I didn't know that news had broken. I was wondering how you guys felt about Miami not taking a chance on that. I mean, like, because I mean, if they're gonna take a chance on Melo, you might as well have taken the chance on Boogie.
It's true, also Miami. I think the big thing for LA why they didn't get him is because they didn't want him. They wanted him to come in like pretty much right after training camp. They didn't want to waste a roster spot and have him come in midway through the season.
You can't take away minutes from JaVale.
That's it.
No, but hold on, wait a second. That part's funny because that tells me that the Lakers don't think that team is as good as like most people think. Like, people made fun of me on Twitter because I asked the question, is this a playoff team? Right? Mm-hmm. And Leif and I were talking before the show how like it's just such a weird roster and like nothing's happened since. And LeBron James played all 82 last year in the Eastern Conference and won 50 games.
They are the LA Cavs.
The A seed in the West won 47 games.
That's true.
We think LeBron's going to play all 82 again? Like, that Laker team is not that, like, I don't, like, Kevin Love is better than any of those Lakers. You know, like, I don't know. I don't think that that's such a surefire, like, playoff spot.
No, I mean, it could go totally, completely sideways. I mean, if you look at that roster, they're building it differently because they want playmakers around LeBron, and they're talking about putting LeBron in the post, and they want, you know, these guys that are like dogs that aren't afraid of the Warriors, not going to be intimidated, like basically saying that the surrounding him with shooters way is not going to work. We're not going to out-Warrior the Warriors, so let's come at it.
So they literally just got no shooters.
I guess.
Mo Wagner, though.
They got no shooters, and we're like, we're going to anti-modern basketball.
Some shooters.
Kuzma's good.
They've got Kuzma. They've got Josh Hart, KCP. That's about
Josh Hart
and Ingram. Yo, Josh Hart can shoot.
Like, the Warriors aren't going to play Josh Hart off the floor.
They're not getting anywhere near the Warriors. They just need to get to 6 seed so they can avoid Houston and Golden State.
Yo, what kind of world are we living in that LeBron's like, I just need to get the 6
seed? This is great for the NBA. We need to dismantle conferences immediately because I don't want to watch this, all right? I don't want to watch LeBron get eliminated in the first round. Or maybe I do, but...
Hold on, wait a second. Would you rather LeBron get eliminated in the first round, or would you rather him not make the playoffs? Because I think both have very valid, first funny round. Parts to them.
Wait, weren't we all rooting for him to lose in Game 7 against Indiana?
Yeah, that's so funny. No, I mean, like...
It's the Cleveland thing.
It was the Cleveland thing, but now, like, I think the Lakers is just worse. Not because I hate the Lakers, just because, like, it's so lame. It's like, dude didn't even try to, like, beat the Warriors. He's just like, eh. Like, it's just, oh, God. It's so
I think they end up trading for Damian Lillard.
I'm going to go on record with Brad. I think they get Bradley Beal. That's the name that they get out of nowhere. A surprise pickup.
I mean, that's still not enough to, like, maybe that'll get you the 6th seed that
second
Alex
round.
Is second round. LeBron, second round appearance.
He'll get away with it too. You know, they'll be like, oh, they didn't have enough to beat Houston.
He's Teflon, dude. I can't believe he did that again.
So how funny is it that we entered the summer worried so much about Hassan being moved, and when is that going to happen, and who's he being traded to? And now we're at the point where Tyler is more movable, and there's more teams calling the Heat about Tyler than there was Hassan.
I don't believe that, though.
No, I'm telling you that there's more teams calling. There's at least 3 that I've heard of that are calling on Tyler and having discussions and whispers, nothing, just crickets when it comes to Hassan.
The Heat, but hold on, but late, part of that is the Heat's doing. Like, part of, like, I don't think it's been any kind of secret. Like, we all know, if we all know that the Heat are sick of Hassan, other GMs know the Heat are sick of Hassan. And if other GMs know that the Heat are sick of Hassan, the Heat, right? This model, like, and I like to think that other organizations respect them. I think that they've earned that from other general, especially Pat, among other general managers, and Spoelstra, from other, like, they have some, like, form of respect. And if they're sick of him, you think they want him? So part of that has been their doing and their leaks and their mouthpieces talking bad about certain players. So it's kind of their fault to an extent. Like, obviously, it's not their fault that, you know, they can't do anything when Hassan goes publicly and starts complaining about minutes. And that playoff performance was just abysmal, like, to the eye. Like, maybe it wasn't a, maybe if you really, like, crunched the numbers, it wasn't so bad. But just, like, the optics of what happened were just terrible.
You wonder if not being able to move Hassan factored into why you didn't go after Boogie, because you knew that you were just going to have this completely dysfunctional situation on the horizon.
But hold on. I feel like if you were to do that, if you were to make that Boogie move, you could then go ahead and logically sell Hassan for pennies like Pat has been reluctant to do, you know, the Portland trade, that type of trade where you get back to, like, mediocre assets like Mo Harkless and Aminu or whatever it is, Myers Leonard.
Only one move all summer sounded like it could have materialized where Hassan would have moved. And unfortunately, the Dwight Howard signing in Washington ruined it all.
Mm.
And we have been saying
so close.
And that makes so much more sense for them. It's because Dwight's just better. Dwight's still better.
I have a take about that.
Let's go.
Dwight Howard to the Wizards, along with their other moves to fix team chemistry by adding Austin Rivers and Jeff Green and Dwight Howard. It's going to mess up the locker room, and that team is going to get broken up, and one of them is going to come to Miami.
No, Bradley Beal's going to Lakers. Leif Cole
already. John Wall's in Miami. John Wall's always in Miami.
Hey, maybe they'll keep Beal, and then John Wall, I think he's eligible to be traded later this month, so maybe then we'll get our whale then.
Take the half the cap.
He won't be a dead whale that we need to resuscitate, but he'll surely be an expensive-ass whale.
Well, and speaking of expensive-ass whales and other superstar tradings, I read a rumor. I don't know if it was a Score or Bleacher Report or somebody, but Kawhi maybe to the Raptors? That's really interesting.
That would be a lot. Chris Haynes reported that the only team that he would consider re-signing in the Eastern Conference is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay, but hold on. Wait a second. If you're Toronto, right? Like, this is your era of basketball. Like, it's not going to get much better than this for a long time.
That's true.
Let's just say, fuck it. Kawhi, let's just make a run. You can leave after. Like, they have to reset anyway. Like, they're going to have to hit the reset button. So you might as well, like, give away DeRozan, right? And if Kawhi leaves, fine. You have your picks and you're back.
What if Kawhi wants to play with DeRozan? That's another LA guy.
Then you give him Lowry. Like, the Spurs will take one of them. Would
that be one of their best offers, though? Lowry and, you know, Pirtle, whoever else.
I think teams are just scared of pulling the trigger because Kawhi may leave. But if Toronto's like, fuck it, like, this is our chance. Like, let's go all in. Like, this is a good team. Kawhi Leonard is just a massive upgrade. He's probably twice.
And LeBron isn't in the East anymore.
Let's go. Come on. Poor Dwayne Casey couldn't have waited it out.
Why'd they fire him again?
Because you know how that works. When you lose enough times, that was such an embarrassing loss. Somebody had to lose their job. You know, somebody had to lose their job after
looking. I wanted to call him racist, but then I remember Masai Ujiri's on the head of
that. That was such an embarrassing performance that somebody had to get fired.
And I'm glad he won Coach of the Year.
Because it's funny?
Just for the petty. Yeah, just for the petty.
Because it was funny.
Hey, Giancarlo.
Yes. Why'd you call me Giancarlo?
Are the Raptors a Tyler Johnson away?
No. Oh, well, if they have Kawhi, maybe. Like, hold on. Like, wait a second. This is not so crazy. Like, if the Raptors get Kawhi and they just start becoming in asset acquiring mode, it's like taking like a bunch of really big contracts and then that they're all going to expire soon anyway. So they're going to have cap and they're going to have picks. It's not like a crazy thing. Like, that's probably not going to happen, but it's not. You know, there's been dumber shit thrown out there.
Ellington.
Can you believe Sacramento was going to give Tyler Johnson even more money than we ended up giving him? Like they're destined to have him eventually.
Pablo said on Libertard, right? It was yesterday?
Yeah.
He told them no. And Tyler's like, nah, that's okay, Brooklyn. I don't know.
He's from Cali, too. That's the other.
Pull it out, no.
Yeah, he went to Fresno State, which is the same university I think Kawhi went to. Or no, San Diego State is where he went to.
Yeah,
never mind.
I don't know, man. I just don't see anything like really like, I don't really think the Melo thing's happening. Like, it just, I know Leif has been saying that like Houston's like by far and away the leader. And like, yeah, I mean, we can kind of talk ourselves into Melo coming here to like rehab his like image and game or whatever. But it's just being on a contender is just so much better. And Chris Paul's his buddy. Like,
I don't know, though. I mean, him and D'Antoni did not get along. I thought I saw.
Oh, I totally forgot that he coached them.
That, like, D'Antoni said that he literally, like, left there because of Carmelo. He would have to come off the bench. He's going to be the third option or the fourth option, depending on.
Would he come off the bench?
Yeah. That's what the writers in Houston, the beat writers are saying, that that's what they're pitching to him, to lead the second unit as the primary scoring option.
But you don't think he calls Dwayne? And, like, Dwayne seems like a good guy. Like, I'm sure that they're all talking to each other. And Dwayne's like, it's not so bad.
I don't know. I think he may also say, like, come down here, enjoy the fun, the sun, and take shots and start. And, you know, if you commit to staying in shape, because this, and when I lost my train of thought earlier, this is where I was going. Do you think that Spo would, like, be such an advocate of this? Maybe it has to do with that Carmelo committed to, like, buying into the strength and conditioning program for a year. And if Dwayne says, maybe he says, that's not like, that's, it's not so bad. Buy into it for 1 year. And if you get a motivated guy who wants to get one last deal, maybe he averages 25 a game. I don't know. Am I hope trafficking?
A little bit. I think that, like, if you get 15 out of Carmelo a game on, like, you know, decent percentages, I think you're doing good. I think that's
playable defensively.
I honestly think that Hassan's a pairing with him that'll help, because they'll probably, you know, like.
Can't Hassan's, you hide him? Justice, Jay Rich, Bam.
Exactly.
Hassan, if he's there.
He's not very
Magruder. Hide him behind Magruder, baby.
Oh, I forgot. That's another guy that we forgot about in the rotation.
And he's going to play. Like, people forget. Like, his ass is going to find his way onto the court for minutes. Like, he's one of them guys. He's going to be, like, diving underneath the bench chairs. Like, he's getting in the game. So
him and Tyler
are out minutes for him too. More for the log jam.
Him and Tyler are going to be competing to play so much that they're just going to get hurt diving into the stands. Who can get hurt more?
Him and Tyler are like two dogs, like, on the leash, like, barking, like, waiting to get on there, waiting to come at you.
Waiting for their 12 minutes a game.
Derek, well, like yourself, while you will a wolf.
Yo, it's funny because, like, I think we've gotten to the point that, like, we're just trying to have fun. But
do we need content so bad? I just want Melo being traded here, just so we have another week to talk about something.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I don't know. I'm fine with them running it back next year, like this. Like, I at this point, like, I on it. Like, if they can't just, like, and I'm scared that Pastor's gonna jump at the first deal that he can get. But at this point, like, if you don't get anything good, just stay on to those contracts. Let Tyler and TJ expire. Maybe next season you can get something for huge expirings.
But why would Wayne and Dwayne be waiting? Like, why are those situations not firmed up? I feel like,
I don't know why Wayne, because that would be
Hamilton wouldn't have found a spot to get a job, at least a 1 year deal.
The Lakers.
So the Heat had to have said to him, listen, you can take a 1 year deal elsewhere, or you can wait. You can get a 2 year deal, maybe a 3 year deal, maybe a 4 year deal, according to Twitter. But, you know, like, maybe, like, why else would you be waiting around? And then you don't hear a peep out of Dwayne Wade. You don't hear anything, no speculation, no rumors, nothing. And it's just a situation where you feel like, why are those moves being waited on? So it tells me that they're still working on stuff. So all hope is not lost.
Alex, Ryan, what do you hear at Summer League? You've been around all the executives.
And by around, it's more like 15 feet away from them, with me just staring at them, trying to get some sources.
Enough to eavesdrop. What are you hearing?
Well, first of all, Derek Jones Jr. walked by me when I was sitting at the game today, and he seemed to be walking okay. So I'm reporting right now that he'll be all right.
Will he play tomorrow?
I doubt it.
Okay.
6 to 8 days, baby.
It was really fun watching us humiliate Grayson Allen, though.
Yeah. Didn't you see De'Aaron Fox sitting next to Bam?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I put that up on the Heat Beat Twitter account. Those guys are connected, man. That's future Heat legend De'Aaron Fox, by the way. Get that right.
Recruiting season.
Recruiting season.
But Chris Paul, two seats down from them, by the way.
Ooh. Look at that. Thinking ahead.
Not recruiting season.
We haven't talked about Bam a lot. Bro, hold on. Let's get organized for a second. Brian, do we have a 5 reasons promo to play?
Yes, we do.
Hey, this is Seth Levitt, and I am here with two-time Miami Dolphins team MVP.
Seth, man. They already know this is OJ McDuffie. Why don't you tell them what we're really here for?
We're excited to join the crew at the 5 Reasons Sports Network to bring you our new podcast, The Fish Tank, Dolphins Tales from the Deep. OJ, tell them what they can expect when they dive in.
Yeah, Big Seth, we've got some of your favorite all-time Dolphin players in the tank sharing some of the best stories that you've never heard.
So it looks like Sasquatch because he's is chasing me. Because you know Izzo with his clothes on. He's so hairy, that guy.
Wait, why are you looking at me like I know Lizzo with his clothes off?
Seth with his clothes off.
So make sure you find The Fish Tank on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or if you're one of those Android people, Google Play Music, or on several cross-platform apps, including Podbean and Stitcher.
Thanks for diving in.
We got OJ McDuffie on the network, dude. We got athletes. We got professionals. We out here. Brian, do you got another one?
Hey, this is Garion Thorne, host of the Fantasy on 5 podcast, part of the 5 Reasons Sports Network, letting you know that your fantasy football needs are covered this season. My co-host David Ganos and I will be leading you hand-in-hand through your draft and right up to Championship Sunday, offering our insight into the world of fantasy football. We'll also be inviting some of our friends from Sports Illustrated, Yahoo, and DraftKings. Look for us Tuesdays and Thursdays starting in July, wherever you currently listen to your favorite 5 Reasons Network podcasts.
All right, so we'll continue on to Bam Adebayo talk. Alex, you've been out there, Summer League, you've been watching, keeping a close eye. What can you tell us about Bam? Because I saw the first game and in Sacramento, and they really, really, really let him do whatever he wanted with the ball. I know that has not been the case so far in Summer League, but I liked what I was seeing. He's still very raw. But I think there's clearly.
So I haven't seen as much as that as far as ball handling goes, as like they were doing in Sacramento. But he's gone back a lot to the screening and rolling, and he looks huge. He looks like he put on some weight, and he's kind of athletically dominant. He's in that point. He looks like the second year player who's just on another level athletically than everybody else on the floor. And I'm pretty excited.
Did he go like 14-16 from the free throw line today?
Yep. Getting to the rim, it's a good sign. 14-16. Wasn't he a bad free throw shooter before too?
He was not good.
No, he was okay. But right now, I was doing some research. He's shooting 78% right now from the free throw line.
In Vegas or overall?
In Vegas, 33 attempts right now.
Wow.
Good. And the fact that he's getting the attempts. I know it's summer league, but that's still pretty big.
Bam, I also like Rashad Vaughn.
Bam was a 72% free throw shooter last year.
Duncan Robinson's shooting over 50% from three.
I low-key would rather have Rashad Vaughn on this roster than Derek Walton.
Really?
Ooh. Derek Walton has not had a good summer league. I do not think that he's locked up. You know, they like extended that qualifying offer and they could give him the Derek Jones deal and they are not giving him the Derek Jones deal. So I feel like he could end up not even making the team. I mean, initially I kind of thought that he could be squeezed in, but when you look at the backcourt, I just don't know how viable it is. And they're going to keep a two-way spot open for somebody else. I think anyway,
for sure.
The only position of need player that they got has been Jones Jr. That's it.
True. Yeah, we need the position.
And it's like Justice maybe can be that guy that takes up the bulk of those minutes. I don't know how. Hopefully, man, he really turned a corner last year. Second half of the year when Dwayne came back and in the playoffs, legit force. Like, he was good. And if he can be that, like, if he could be more of a scorer, and I know that he's getting there little by little, that's going to be so tremendous because they were so thin there. So thin there, and that's going to open everything up.
So it's going to be weird with him coming off the bench. We kind of want him in the role of, you know, setting up the offense and all of that. But if we're getting Deion and Dwayne back, how is that going to work?
Nobody has absolutely any idea how it's going to work.
But this is like the
that's why Spo gets paid the big bucks, man.
I'm guessing Deion starts. I guess since he had the previous, the success with Goran and then Dwayne and Justice have worked well together before.
We all know how this is going to go. At the end of the game, it's going to be Dwayne and Deion taking turns chugging shots.
And Melo.
I cannot
wait. Melo. Step back Jays all day.
With Hassan pouting on the bench.
That fourth quarter lineup of Goran, Dwayne, Melo, Deion, and like Kelly. Let's go.
Yeah, what's like the...
Or JJ, I'm sorry, JJ. They need some defense.
Save a spot for Beasley.
What's the most reckless five they can put together if they get Carmelo?
Like Hassan, JJ, Carmelo, Deion, Tyler.
Nah, I like Melo at the five. Put him on the slowest guy.
Yo, I would love Melo at the five just to see how it would go. Jab step for ages.
What position did he play?
The death lineup.
What position did he play?
Death for who?
The death.
For us.
For us.
I can't wait for Melo to jab step the shot clock into like a violation.
Goes up the side of the shot clock.
Yeah, you know how like the
arena's dead quiet.
The Warriors call their line instead of the death lineup. The Warriors call their lineup something like wherever the hell it was. Where
the Hampton Five.
The Hampton Five.
So if Melo comes, then what are we going to call them? The Vegas Five? Because we went to Vegas to meet with Melo. I mean,
I don't know, man. I think the Hampton Five is lame for one, and I am a proponent of the death lineup. I don't know why. They had a cool name. It was the death lineup. It was warranted because they are the death lineup, and then they changed it to the dumbass Hampton Five, which nobody
wants. I don't know how you understand how you go from Harrison Barnes to KD, and that somehow takes away the death.
Exactly. Harrison Barnes used to be in the death lineup, and now it's Kevin freaking Durant. Get the fuck out of here.
Harrison Barnes, Heat free agent target 2020, baby.
Damn. No, half the cap, super max.
Give him 31 mil, 4 years.
We're locked in for 4 years, so we can have cap space for Harrison Barnes.
That 60 is gonna be sweet.
Hawks, God, Hawks life.
I was about to say we're gonna be the fucking Hawks. Nah, man, it's not such a bad situation. Not. They're gonna have a bunch of cap in a couple years. Tyler's gonna be out of our lives. Brian, you have a promo yet?
Miami Heat Beat brought to you by Miss Inc. Go to miss-inc.com. That's 305-537-6465. MissInc.com. Social media problem solvers. They do social media marketing and content writing. Been in business since January of 2008. That was during the Heat's terrific 15-win season. They believe in a personal, customized approach to marketing, and as such, they only represent businesses that are serious about taking their visibility to the next level. Social media marketing requires much more than just a blog or profiles on websites like Facebook and Twitter. It takes smart strategy and a daily interactive focus. That's why the 5 Reasons Sports Network is working with Miss Inc. They don't believe in cookie-cutter strategies or in boxing your business in with others in your industry. Here's where you go. MissInc.com. Again, it's MissInc.com or call 305-537-6465.
Listen, make no mistake. The Miami Heat are winning a championship before the Philadelphia 76ers will.
Let's go!
Oh, can I tell my car accident story? Okay, gentlemen. On the eve of the 3rd of July, I'm driving from Brickell back to Kendall. I'm flying to LA the next day for the 4th of July weekend. As I'm driving, I'm changing lanes. There's a car in front of me, and they're going way too slow. As I'm changing lanes to get out of the way, I hit them from behind. I rear-end the guy. I wasn't going that fast. I get out of the car. The guy gets out. He looks at me. He's like, did you fucking see me? I go, I am so sorry. It is, mind you, it's 2:30 in the morning. 2:30 a.m. on Sunset Drive in Kendall. There's nobody around there. It's pretty fucking dead. I tell him, hey, let's get out of the street. We were right next to a shopping center. I go, let's pull into the shopping center to deal with this. So we pull in. I go, hey, listen, man, I hit you.
Give him the hands.
Huh? If I had Alf, I would have. I told him, I go, hey, man, listen, I hit you. It's my fault. I take full responsibility. I don't know what your insurance situation's like. If you want to call the cops, if you don't want to call the cops, you let me know. You know, we'll work this out. You know, I want to be nice. It's my fault. And the guy tells me, yeah, whatever works for you. He had a brand new car. It was like a 2018 Honda Accord or 2017. It was practically a new car. And I go, well, I mean, if we don't have to call the cops, that'd be better. You know, I don't want to go through the insurance if we don't have to, because it was only the bumper that I had hit. He's like, yeah, let me just get a picture of your license and stuff like that. So we'll communicate and we'll change numbers. So I go over to his car, and this is where the story gets nuts. So I go over to his car to check, you know, the damages on the bumper. And as I look up from the bumper, I see in the back seat, he has a Chucky doll and a Bride of Chucky doll buckled in. And they're big ass dolls. They're not like little. They're like the size from the movie.
Dog, you got to run.
Dog, it's 2:30 in the morning. I'm in a parking lot. There's no other cars. There's literally no one around me. If he fucking shanks me, I'm alone. Like, there's nobody there to help me.
He's going to blame it on Chucky.
Yo, you almost got chopped up.
Dude, so I look. He clearly sees that I saw what was in his backseat. And then he offers me a Frappuccino that he pulls out of his car. He's like, do you want a coffee? And he pulls out a Frappuccino. And I go, no, I'm good, thanks. And he doesn't even try to explain the dollars or anything. So he walks over, gets my license. He's trying to take a picture of it. The camera's not focusing. And he's like, huh. And he's like tapping the screen. Camera's not focusing. Wonder what's going on. And I go, do you want me to take the picture, send it to you? Like, you know, so we can go. Like, I'm fucking freaking out. I mean, how would you not be?
You think?
I mean, like, I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So the second he takes a picture, I make him call me. So I have his number and I leave. I fucking book it. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. Blah, blah, blah. Bye. Boom. I'll get back to you. I'll pay you. You get a quote and I'll do whatever. I fucking book it. I realize that I don't get his information. I don't even know his fucking name.
But he has your address.
I didn't get a picture of the license of the license plate. I didn't get a picture of the car damages. I was so fucking scared.
That's exactly why you got out alive, because you didn't get any of that information.
Dude, so no, this is the worst part. So then he messages me on WhatsApp. He's like, hey, this is so-and-so from the accident. And it's 3 a.m. at this point. And his photo is like black and white. And you know, the WhatsApp icons are really small. It looked like it, like the clown for a second. Then I opened it and it wasn't. But bro, my fucking heart dropped. And I was like, this guy has my address. This guy's going to come murder me and my whole family.
That's like some Dexter shit, man.
Bro, I was shitting my, I was like, I'm going to die. I thought like, I'm going to die here in this parking lot on Sunset Drive.
Yeah.
That's my story. What'd you say, Alex?
Didn't like your Magic Johnson take.
You know, Miami Heapie LLC is tied to your address, right?
You're next, Brian.
Did you tell him how you became a sports fan?